What a day, what a week, what a month, what a year. Just had some time to ponder in many evenings and afternoons and mornings with my mother-in-law in the hospital and read a bunch of stuff. The word truth just kept coming up over and over and over again. What is the truth? That song we just sang said, I long to fill my mind with truth. That's a big, big, big word. But before I start into what truth is, a fellow named Edward Gibbon wrote a book called The Decline and the Fall of the Roman Empire. And he attributed the fall of the Roman Empire to five things. The first one was, and think about where you're sitting, what country you're sitting in as I read these to you, the rapid increase of divorce. He said that that undermined the dignity, it undermined the sanctity of the home. And that is the basis, marriage, for the human society. God created it. As the Romans went away from it, society crumbled. I don't know if their divorce rate was higher than theirs, but ours is over 50%. The second thing that destroyed the Roman Empire were higher and higher and higher taxes. Anybody just, April 15th is coming up. Eddie's an accountant. 17th this year? Oh, that's okay. Falls on the weekend. April 17th is coming up. He said that they were using those taxes, those public monies, for free bread and circuses for the populace. I think about welfare today. I think about the 27-page Medicaid application I started into this morning. Christians aren't supposed to be angry. The next thing he said was the third thing that destroyed the Roman Empire was the mad craze for pleasure. He said that sports became more and more exciting and more brutal. I don't know about you, but I find myself clicking from HGTV to Ultimate Fighting at the chagrin of my wife. More and more brutal. Those guys are in a cage. Terrible, terrible stuff. But that's where I think that's where we're going. The next thing, the fourth thing that destroyed the Roman Empire were the building of gigantic armaments. Building the army. And Mr. Gibbon went on to say when the real enemy was within. The real enemy was the decadence of the Roman people. Outside these walls is a decadent, worldly society. And the fifth thing, and the one that I want to concentrate on tonight that destroyed the Roman Empire, was the decay of religion. Faith faded into mere form. Faith lost touch with life. The church became impotent. And the Word of God became impotent also and was no warning and was no guide to the people. They went away from the truth of God's Word. They lost the reality of truth. George Barna says today that Americans are in tragic shape when it comes to ultimate truth. He says that most Americans reject the idea or the notion of absolute truth. He said that most people in America today don't think it matters what God you pray to, because every deity is ultimately the same, but they're all shrouded in different names and they have different attributes, and mankind can follow anyone that they please. And then finally, nearly 2 out of 3 adults contend that the choice of one religious faith over another is irrelevant today, because all faiths teach the same basic lesson about life. I beg to differ with that this evening. And I hope that you will too. U.S. News and World Report poll found that 93% of Americans say that they believe in God or a universal spirit. Of those polled, 65% say that religion is losing its influence on American life. But 62% say religion is increasing influence in their own personal lives. I don't see that happening. Other findings are that 34% of the people believe that the Bible, 34% of the people believe that the Bible is the actual Word of God and is to be taken literally. 1/3 of the people today believe that the Bible should be taken word for word. 46% believe that it's inspired by God, but not everything in the Bible can be taken literally. 16% think it's just an ancient book of legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. 76% of people think God is a heavenly Father who can be reached by prayer. That's fairly moving in the right direction. But 11% think that God is only an idea, not a being. And 8% think that God is an impersonal creator. That He just made the world, made the heavens, and just left it go on its own. Gallup says that there's a tremendous diversity in beliefs that are anti-ethical to biblical principles. Barna went on to say that 53% of people believe that there are moral truths that are absolute. 43% say that there is no such thing as the Holy Spirit. Almost half the people don't think the Holy Spirit exists. 33% believe that Jesus never had a physical resurrection. I stand here tonight to tell you that if 1/3 of the people don't believe in Jesus' resurrection, we're in some serious trouble. Or they are. The ones of us who do are okay. 19% of people today believe that Jesus sinned while He was on earth. I think we've all seen movies about that recently. Something that concerns me is what George Gallup wrote. He said that there is no clear distinction, no clear behavioral patterns that distinguish Christians from non-Christians in our society. There are no clear patterns distinguishing Christians from non-Christians. He said we all seem to be marching to the same drummer, looking at the shifting standards of contemporary culture for the basis of what is acceptable today in moral behavior. Christians and non-Christians alike are watching that standard move, watching God get taken out of everything. Who has seen a new gold dollar? Does it say, "In God we trust" on it? It's off the face of the coin now and onto the edge. It's moving. They left it off. Was that a test? Billy says there was a big deal. I think they printed 50,000 of those dollars without "In God We Trust" on them. Was that a test of our society to see if it was acceptable? I sure would like to have a roll of them to sell them and pay off the church debt. But you're right, Billy. Their truth is just fading. God is just fading from everything we do. Chuck Colson said that there was a time when most Americans accepted absolute standards. I don't know how long ago that was. When did the truth fade out of our society? He said they might disagree on what all of the absolutes were, but they knew that some things were really right and that some things were really wrong. Where do we stand today on that? There's a balance between freedom and there's a balance between law. And the gray area that was in the middle of that used to be covered with morality, used to be covered with ethics. And they are all shifting and fading. One author wrote that it's kind of like silly putty. you can stretch it and twist it. It was Play-Doh. You can stretch it and twist it and make it any way you want it to be. And one of the things that I read this week by Philip Ryken said that as society gets away from that gray area, that moral truth, things start to shift over to law. What used to be God's word, what used to be God's standards, what used to be God's law, what used to be God's standard for morality shifts toward the law. And when it shifts toward the law, you get things like Roe versus Wade. You get things like the mother in Chicago who sued another mother to get a restraining order against her 3-year-old son because he bullied her son in the sandbox. Went right to court. She got the restraining order. Mr. Ryken said that in the past that would have been handled kid to kid, mom to mom, dad to dad, neighborhood to neighborhood, and then finally might end up in the church. But as that gray area of morality, as that gray area of civility moves away, the law starts to take over. So all that said, tonight's scripture, John 18:38. Pilate asked this question to Jesus. What is truth? Is that a simple question? Anybody know the definition? John 14:6. It'll set you free. Go ahead. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Eddie, don't preempt me. Simple question. Answering it is not so simple. Some of the definitions of truth that I looked up. Truth is that which agrees or conforms to reality. Truth is that which agrees or conforms to reality, agrees or conforms to fact, or agrees or conforms to actuality. Truth is what it is. The second one is truth is that which agrees with itself and corresponds with the world of reality. I tend to think that the world and truth are diametrically opposed. They're basic definitions. They're not complete because they're open to interpretation. They're open to a wide variety of applications. For instance, what is reality? If truth is based on reality, what is reality? If truth is based on fact, what is fact? If truth is based on actuality, what is actuality? And then finally, how do each of our perceptions affect what we think truth is? There is no single definition of truth about which a majority of scholars agree. There are many theories, but they're all debated. There are differing claims on what constitutes truth, the identity of it, the revelation of it, where you would acquire the knowledge of truth, and ultimately whether truth is subjective, whether truth is relative, whether truth is objective, or whether truth is absolute. Subjectivism is when right and wrong, or truth and falsehood, are determined by each individual. We can all have our own version of what truth is in society today. Relativism is where a group decides what is right or wrong, or true or false. And many people say the Bible is just for Christians because they interpret it the way right and wrong is and should be. But that's for them, it's not for us. Moral relativism is the view that a moral statement can be true in one place and one time, but false in another. So what is true in the past, like back when the Bible was written, doesn't apply to today. And that's okay with a whole bunch of people. And finally, absolutism says that truth transcends all time. Truth transcends all places. What is true now was true then. What is false now is false then. And it pervades all cultures. It pervades all eras. Truth can be here and there, and falsehood is here and there. But tonight I want to come to you and I want to say that God is truth. God is one. Therefore, truth is one. And there can only be one truth. So let's take a look at a couple things. Is the Bible true? Is the Bible inerrant? Sola Scriptura. Scripture alone. If you look at our website, that's on our logo now. Scripture alone. Is the Bible just a remarkable book? It is a remarkable book. Huh? Okay. Not just one book. Is it inerrant? Psalm 119:160 says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances endures forever." There is no relativism. It endures forever. God's word is truth. There was a time, and I don't know when all Americans respected the Bible, and many could quote it, and the preacher spoke of it with authority. In 1963, Gallup said that 65% believed the Bible literally. Today, that number is less than 30%. So you've all heard it's the world's best-selling book, right? How many copies? I don't have the exact number. One theory said that there were 627 million sold in the 20th century. Another one said that there were over a billion in print. And they were just the ones that were sold because the Gideons have given away over 70 million copies. It's mind-boggling that 2,000 years ago and still stands today as the best-preserved literary book ever. Has more than 24,000 ancient New Testament manuscripts that support it. The closest book in publication to that today is Homer's Iliad, which has only 643 preserved manuscripts. The Bible has 24,000, which have never been proven wrong. So is the Bible true? Is it the inspiration of God? 2 Timothy 3:16 says it's given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. And finally, for instruction in righteousness. It is, as the Scriptures, given by the inspiration of God. And you know what else it does? It challenges its readers. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "Test all things. Use the Scripture as the measure for everything." So is the Bible true? How many prophecies are in it? I didn't have time since 11 to count them. But one author said that just the messianic prophecies alone, that what Jesus came to prove, which there were 50 plus in all, he said if one man transpired through all generations and just did 8 of them, the odds of that would be 1 in 10 to the 17th power. 10 with 17 zeros after it. How many is that? If you were to take that many silver dollars and put them in Texas, it would cover the state 2 feet deep. Then he said, if one man fulfilled 48 prophecies, it would be 1 in 10 to the 57th power. 10 with 57 zeros. Can you put that up on the board, Trish? No, I'm kidding. Now, just to give you a comparison of what that is, the number of electrons in the universe is 10 to the 79th power. The odds of someone fulfilling Jesus' prophecy is 10 to the 157th power. How big is an electron? You look at those under microscopes. Are the prophecies in the Bible an accident? Or are they true? They're absolutely and positively true. One of the most recent fulfilled ones. It's not just Old Testament stuff. It's not just Jesus coming. How about Israel? 3,400 years ago, promised that they would have their land, and in 1947, were returned to it. There are prophecies about the future. There are prophecies about the future of war, of frequent earthquakes, of natural disasters, of pestilence that seem to be so much around us today. The Word is truth. Past, the Word is truth. Present, and the Word will be fulfilled as truth in the future. Is Jesus true? Now, where would we be without that? Remember Ephesians 2:20 that Nick spoke on this weekend? What was Jesus? Jesus was the cornerstone. That's not past tense. Jesus is the cornerstone today. There was a time in our society when you could say, believe in Jesus, and many would know what you meant. But today, the looks are puzzled from so many. Jesus said, as Eddie reiterated tonight, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And he went on to say, I am the only way where no one comes to the Father except through me. And in Ephesians 4:21, it ends with, as the truth is in Jesus. Is Jesus the truth? Is the Bible the truth? But the Holy Spirit, I told you what a third of people or two-thirds of people don't believe the Holy Spirit's around today. I would like to tell you that this church is guided by the Holy Spirit. Absolutely, positively, the Holy Spirit is the dispenser of truth. Jesus left Him here for us. John 16:13 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will teach you all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He will hear, He will speak. And the things that are to come, He will declare to you. The Holy Spirit is the truth. So how do we apply this truth? First, I'd like to remind you that we should obey it. Secondly, I would like to remind you of what Jesus said a few hours before he died, when He prayed to His Father in John 17:17. He said, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. Basically, He asked His Father to set them apart, set us apart. The sole source of religious truth is the Word of God. There are so many cults today trying to skew that, trying to pervert that, trying to twist that. Religious truth will never find its source in creeds, in catechisms, or in church manuals that are written by man. It will only find its truth in this book right here. So I'd like to remind you this evening that the truth is valuable. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy truth, B-U-Y, buy truth, and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Get truth at all costs. John 8:32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is freedom worth? I told you our society is fighting from freedom to law. And what used to be moral in the middle is gone. We need to replace the truth, put it back where it should be. All of us are held in sin until the truth of the gospel sets us free. The truth is valuable. The truth is narrow. In mathematics, there can only be one correct answer to any given problem. The same is true in religion. In Matthew 7:21-23, the Word says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. There's a lot of people out there today that think being sincere is enough to get them into heaven. Truth is narrow. There is only one way. Truth is binding. You can't be in truth and falsehood at the same time. It'll tear you apart. A man can't remain in error and retain his honesty. A man can't remain in error and continue in his integrity. Many religious people have remarked, I don't believe everything my church teaches. When Nick gets over his gout, if he ever hears you say that, the Word is truth. Jesus is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. Truth can have no fellowship with error. We have to use the truth to discern false teachers. And finally, the truth will judge. On the resurrection day, we won't be judged for what our mother believed, what our father taught us, or by what everyone else was doing while we were a vapor on earth. John 12:48 says we'll be judged by the words of Christ. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. What you know about truth and what your reaction or obedience to it is will determine what you will hear on your final day. The truth will set you free. Your benchmark for truth is right here. There are so many people that would like to skew that today. Just flip through your TV channels. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your benchmark to judge what is right or wrong. Thank you for the truth that can set us free. Free from the sin nature that pervades this world. That we can recognize falsehood. That we can look to Jesus' example and word for truth. That we can look at the inerrant word of God which was given to us for teaching, for learning in this case, for reproof. Lord, I thank you that your word transcends time. I thank that your word is truth. I thank you for the Holy Bible. Lord, I just want to ask that everyone here just take their Bible and grip it tightly. Lord, we're so blessed to have a Bible. The people in China who have a corner of a page with one verse on it and treasure it. Lord, forgive us for our decadence in having dozens of Bibles laying on that worship center out there in our quote-unquote lost and found. Lord, may we treasure your word. May it inspire all that we do. May our words be taken from its pages. May our actions reflect its words. Lord, your truth is love. It is precious. Jesus, you are the cornerstone, the foundation. Lord, if the foundation isn't right, the plumb line is skewed, and the truth goes awry. May we always hold firm to your truth. Lord, I praise your name this evening. Thank you for the rain to bring on spring. Thank you for the reminder of your mighty power and thunder and lightning. Lord, thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your never-ending love. May it inspire us to go from here and share your truth boldly. Share your truth without regret. To share with others how it has set us free. To share with others your love. Jesus, you are awesome. God, you alone deserve the glory. May your supernatural power come over each person in this place this evening. That they would go forth as your disciples, carrying your truth, carrying your word, faithfully to their families, to their neighbors, to their friends, in their workplace. Lord, put down the falsehoods that pervade society today. Crush them with your truth. As we put on the armor, you remind us that it contains truth. You remind us that it contains the only offensive weapon, which is your word, the sword of the Spirit. May we wield it mightily so that ultimately your gospel transcends from our mouths, transcends from our actions. For only you and save the lost. We're reminded that the path is narrow. We're reminded that the only way to the Father is through the Son. Lord, I just praise you this evening for your truth. Let it set all of us free. It's in your mighty and precious name. In the name like no other, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.